did a good job. He jumped on that song, did an awesome job. Hallelujah. Well, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in Mark chapter 4. And the message tonight is your heart is your life's ultimate authority. Your heart is your life's ultimate authority. I just felt this. It's been coming up in so many messages that I've been preaching recently, and I felt the Holy Ghost tell me to go ahead and preach it tonight. So we're going to do a lot of scripture reading, starting in Mark chapter 4, and after that we're going to Matthew chapter 17. Hallelujah. In verse 1 of Mark chapter 4, he began to teach by the seaside, and there were gathered unto him a great multitude, was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So one thing I want to point out here in verse 1 is that in the essence of revival, that teaching is right smack in the middle of it. You know, revival may start with preaching. It may start with signs and wonders, but I'm telling you, here's a whole multitude of people that Jesus, they're so big that he had to get on a boat and get out on the sea a little bit so they could hear him and they wouldn't get in the way, and so he could teach them all. So teaching the word is right smack in the middle of Holy Ghost revival. In verse 2, he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Verse 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it didn't have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it didn't have depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns and grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And verse 8, and other fell on good ground and did yield forth fruit, yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's good stuff right there. 30, 60, and 100-fold. In verse 9, and he said unto them, he that has an ear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they asked him, the 12 asked him of this parable. In verse 11, he said unto them, unto you is it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So God has people that are closer to him. The Lord has people that are closer to him that he wants to know the mystery of God. You know, just because there are atheists and agnostics out there that used to be Christians and have turned their hearts and their lives against the Lord, and we pray for them and love them, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't have revelation for you. Just because there are people out there that don't understand the mystery of the kingdom of God doesn't mean that we are not to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. You know, we don't lower ourselves to the lowest common denominator in the kingdom of God. Our standard and our placement is the word. Hallelujah. So Jesus here said, unto some, they don't know these things. It's just a parable. It's not, they don't have understanding of this. But unto you, it's given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to tell you tonight that the Lord is telling you that he wants to give you understanding of the mystery of the kingdom of God in your life. He wants you to understand how this works. See, that's God's highest and God's best, is that you understand how to work the kingdom of God, and that you understand how to cast out devils, how to cleanse the leper, how to raise the dead, and how to break a few fish and loaves in half and feed a multitude of people and see 30, 60, and 100-fold. God wants you to understand these things. Praise God. In verse 12, seeing they may not see, and that perceiving and hearing, they may not hear and understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So at any time somebody can get saved. Praise God. In verse 13, and he said unto them, do you not know this parable? How then will you know any parable? Now in the King James it says it a little bit different, but Jesus tells them, do you not know this parable? How then will you know any parable? So in other words, this parable is the grandmaster parable. This is the foundation of all parables, of all the parables that Jesus taught. This is the number one. You can filter everything else that he said through this one, is what he's saying. How will you know any parable? In other words, understanding of all the other things in the parables that Jesus taught come through an understanding of this one. Hallelujah. So verse 14, he begins to explain, the sower sows the word. So that's very clear there. He sows the word, and these that are sown by the wayside where the word was sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And we have all seen that take place. You know, as healing, you know, operating in healing, I've seen people get healed and then lose their healing. And you see people that, you know, get prospered, but they lose their prosperity. And people that, you know, they get peace in their family and they get things going in the right direction, but then they get into strife and they lose peace in their family. And before you know, they got kicked out of the house or something crazy. You know, the devil comes to steal the word. The devil doesn't come to steal the word for people that don't have it because they don't have the word. Because he knows that's where the power is. But the devil knows that there's power when the word of God gets in your heart. That's where ultimate all power lies and resides in your life. Hallelujah. The devil comes to steal the word in verse 15 and 16. And these are those which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And so they lose the harvest that God has for them. But it says, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. So when people get offended or hurt, then they can lose the harvest that God has for them. One thing that is really interesting, intriguing to me, it's bad, but it's yet awesome at the same time, is that when the devil really wants to attack your life, he's probably going to get a person, an individual, to come and attack your life. He's probably going to get somebody to say some things that are hurtful. He's probably going to get somebody to befriend a young teenager that's just got on fire for God, and they're going the right direction, but then he's going to try to send the wrong friend into their life. If the devil wants to attack your life, he's going to send somebody, a person, to do it. But at the same time, when God wants to bless your life, he's going to send a person into your life. You know, anointings and blessings travel through people. And we get our anointing and blessing directly from God also. But God has an anointing and a blessing on this house and on Pastor. And so the easiest, most direct way for you to get anointed and blessed and have increase in your life and healing and 30, 60, and 100-fold financial provision is to get it directly from your pastor, Pastor Bob Nichols. Because he's here and he's already broken through it in that area. And that anointing, as it said in Psalms, travels down from Aaron's beard down into the garments. When you're part of the body, all this blessing and all this goodness of God just naturally flows down from Pastor right onto you. Hallelujah. So when God wants to bless you, he sends a person into your life. And he's already sent you Pastor Bob Nichols. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you can see now the problem when we get hurt and get offended. As it says here in verse 16, likewise, they were sown on stony ground. When they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So they wanted what was said in verse 17, but they have no root in themselves, and they endure for a time, and afterward, when affliction or persecution arises. So you can see the deviousness of the devil trying to bring affliction or bring offense and bring hurt. And a lot of times hurt doesn't have to be through strife. It doesn't have to come through somebody that said something that they shouldn't have said. But it can just be through the natural course of life. Things can happen that just hurt you really bad. And if you don't let God heal you in that area, then you will never be able to produce fruit in that part of your heart again. And some people get hurt and they never let the Lord heal them. Instead of letting the Lord heal it and opening up their heart, they build the Great Wall of China all around that part of their heart. And if you've ever been done that, then you know what it's like to wall in your heart out of protection. Or if you have somebody you know that has done that and you're a friend with them, or if, you know, a brother or a sister or a spouse or anything like that, and you know what it's like to bump into that wall. You know, you thought everything was going good, and out of nowhere, you just get waylaid, and somebody's hurt and offended, but there's somebody's just built a wall around hurt in their life. You've got to let hurt be healed in the presence of God, all of it, all of it, because any hurt in your heart, any hurt in your life that is not healed, anything that the devil's done to hurt you and to cause pain in your life on the inside of your heart, whether it's in the past or in the present or even in the future, if you don't come to the Lord and let him heal you of that, then you can't produce fruit in that area of your life. And that seed will always be there, and you can chop it down, which is good, thank God, that you can at least just chop it down at the ground so it's not causing a lot more trouble, but you'll just have to do it all the time. I mean, you'll be tripping over that area of your heart constantly. You know, it's going to get you mad and get you upset, and you have to chop it down and repent. And then 2 or 3 days later, you say that thing again, and you go off on that person again. You got to chop it down and repent. Well, you know, there's something there, and there's a seed in your heart that's growing and producing. Or there's an area that's stony where you've been hurt and offended, and you haven't let God heal you yet, and God can't grow anything there. So the heart is exceedingly powerful. It is the ultimate authority of God's blessing in your life. God wants to deal with your heart. God's highest order is that your heart be rooted and grounded in love in Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. So verse 18, and these are those which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, so that's pretty clear what that is, the lust of other things, just getting full of the things of the world. And verse 20, these are those which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, 60, and some 100-fold. So I want to tell you right now that how much a seed produces in your heart is not dependent on the seed. It's dependent on your heart. So if you hear the word preached and you see somebody else getting blessed and all of a sudden you know the testimony, the first fruits, and I've got my first fruits and God did this and blessed us, and you've been sowing and giving and it hasn't happened in you, it's not the seed that's the problem. It's not the principle of first fruits or the principle of the tithe that's the problem. Or you may be seeing a partial harvest. You know, we got to get to the place where good enough is not good enough. You may have just seen a partial harvest. You may be at the place where your financial needs are just barely getting met. And if you go and buy an extra cert, you're not sure if the check is going to clear. You know, if you want to give some extra money in the offering for the Easter outreach, you're not sure if that check's going to go through. You're not sure where you're going to get the money from. You don't know how this is going to work out. And we've got to get to the place where good enough is not good enough. And you can receive a partial harvest on a seed, you know, that is supposed to be producing 30, 60, and 100-fold. But if there's something in your heart, hurt and offense and all these things that the word has just described, then it's not going to produce a harvest in your life. So your heart is the ultimate authority on God's blessing in your life. Hallelujah. In verse 21, we're going to do a little bit more reading here. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Is it not to be set in a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. In verse 24, let's skip to that. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. So what comes into your heart, that's what he's talking about. Take heed what goes into your heart. I'm telling you, that's why I'm just determined to have a guard on the things that I see, on the guard on the music that I hear, a guard on the conversations that I have. And, you know, there are some things that, you know, if I was believing God for healing of cancer and somebody walking along the street was talking about how cancer kills everybody, I wouldn't go and counter that in a conversation. But if somebody close to me that knows what's going on says, oh, cancer's a killer, you know, I'm going to counter that because I do exactly what Jesus says right here in verse 24. I take heed what I hear. And, you know, there's some things that you can't allow to be said in your presence when you're standing and believing God for things. And it's not an issue of words as much as it's an issue of your heart and where your heart is rooted and grounded. Because like I said, when the devil wants to attack you, he's going to send a person into your life. When God wants to bless you, he's going to send a person into your life. So if I'm believing God for healing of cancer, then I know the devil's going to try to, you know, even well-meaning people, good members of the family may come and say things, and they're not trying to be hurtful, but they'll say things. But you got to say, no, cancer's not a killer in my life. I am healed in the name of Jesus. There are some things that you can't allow to be said when you're believing God for something. You have to take heed and guard what you hear. You have to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. You have to guard your heart. What goes in is going to come out. Hallelujah. Your heart is the most fertile ground in the world. There's no more fertile ground anywhere in the world than your heart. It's going to produce what has been put into it. And my parents, I started to tell this story several weeks ago, and I got detoured on my story, and I totally forgot the point of my story. But my parents went down to Costa Rica several years ago. My dad won a trip in his auto parts store that he used to own. And they saw a fence line made of trees. And what they did, the ground is so fertile in Costa Rica. I mean, Costa Rican coffee is just about my favorite, the real stuff. You know, I don't want Costa Rica coffee brewed with just some flavoring stuff thrown on it. I want the real stuff from Costa Rica. That is good coffee. I don't know how, but it's the ground there. Everything is so good. But they're so fertile there that there is a certain kind of tree that they can cut branches off it and just stick these branches in the ground with no fertilizer, nothing. They can cut a bunch of these branches off and just stick them in a line. And people would literally make fence lines with these tree branches, and then the tree branches would begin to grow into a tree. So they have a fence line. It's a literal tree that has just grown because the ground is so fertile. You know, and your heart is even more fertile than that. Anything that comes in is going to begin to grow. So you have to take every thought captive. Hallelujah. So Jesus says here in Mark 4:24, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it will be measured to you. So you're the one in control of what goes into your heart, and you're the one in control of how you measure what goes into your heart. The harvest that you get on what God's word is in your heart is controlled completely by you, because he said, with what measure you meet. In other words, how you value the word that goes into your heart is how it's going to produce in your life. Now, a lot of people miss it right here because they carnalize things. And they say, well, I'm believing God for healing in my body. So they come up in the healing line, and if they don't get healed, like I've been in a lot of healing lines in my life and didn't get healed. Actually, the majority of healing lines, I haven't received an instant healing. I'm going to detour a little bit here. Because I believe because the call of God on my life for the healing ministry, the Lord wanted me to walk out in faith and see and manifest healing. But there have been a few where I've received an instant healing. But sometimes God wants you to walk out your healing with using your faith. But people can come in the healing line and watch people tonight that get radically healed. And then you're there thinking, I'm going to get radically healed. And I'm just being brutally honest. And then you don't get healed. Nothing happens. And you walk away with just as much pain as when you came up to the altar. But the reason is because your heart is the ultimate authority on your life. And God wants to use the healing anointing, the healing ministry, and the gift of healing to heal your body. But the highest order for you to receive is right here in verse 24, when you take heed what's in your heart. Because I've got to tell you, I don't know if I can just jump around and scream it and dance like a crazy man, but what you get into your heart is going to produce. And you cannot get by his stripes I am healed into your heart all by itself and it not produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. So therefore, if there's healing in your life that you're believing God for and it has not manifested, then there is something that is hindering that seed in your heart. There is no other way to this. Like I preached a few weeks ago, faith is logical. We have got to stop over-spiritualizing to where faith and the things of God are this vague, nebulous, hard and impossible to be understood concept. Because if the devil can get you to believe that, then you're going to come down in the healing line and not get healed, and you're going to be praying the same prayer, and you never see any healing get better in your life because you don't understand that the power of the word in your heart is your ultimate power. Let me tell you again, the power of the word in your heart is your ultimate power. Nothing in this world can override the power of God's word in your heart coming out your mouth. Absolutely nothing. You've got to understand this before we go any further. Nothing can override that power. If you're believing God for healing in your body and it hasn't manifested, it is because you have sowed the seed of the word of God in your heart and it's bringing forth fruit like twofold. And maybe twofold was enough for the sinus headaches and the coughing that you had, and you saw healing take place, and praise God for that. But now you're dealing with arthritis in the right ankle, and that you may need I'm just kind of giving you some numbers here so you can understand here. Maybe you need a tenfold return on your seed of healing, the word of God in your heart. But the problem is maybe there's a hurt and offense, and that seed is not growing like it should. Or the problem is maybe there's the lust of the world or pride of life, the lust of the eyes that's crowding out things and that seed hasn't grown like it should. Or the problem is there's busyness in your life and that seed hasn't grown like it should. So you can get healed of smaller things, but that big thing you haven't been able to beat yet. And God's highest order is that it take place by faith in your heart. And I don't have the switch in the healing line to determine who gets instantly healed by the gift of healing. Because the gift of healing takes place and heals people most often when the faith in their heart alone is not sufficient. And that's okay, because God is a loving God. Now, you have faith to receive when you come down to this healing line. But if your faith and your heart was developed 100% for healing, for what you need, then you can get healed all on your own. Now, let me balance that by saying this, that God may lead you to come forward and say, I'm going to knock out the rest of this thing in that healing line. But often, people in the healing lines come forward because their personal faith isn't developed to the point to get their healing on their own. Amen. And that's okay. God loves us. I've been healed in healing lines because my faith wasn't strong enough to get healed on its own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants your faith and your heart to operate at the highest level. I don't have the switch in the healing line to determine who gets healed and who doesn't. That's as the Spirit wills. He knows. There have been times that I wasn't using my faith, and I went up, and I remember one healing evangelist told me, no, go back to your seat. He was nicer than this, but he said, no, I'm not going to pray for you. God wants you to use your own faith. And there have been another time or two when I came in the healing line and I got healed radically. It was awesome what God did. But God's highest order is that the faith in your heart get you healed. Hallelujah. That you can get your heart developed, the seed of the word growing in your heart 30, 60, and 100-fold. Maybe you've reached 30-fold, praise God, and you're walking in divine health, but you got diagnosed with a disease. Well, you may need 60-fold now. So let me tell you, come up in every healing line that you can, believing God. This is not a personal pride thing where you say, well, I'm going to develop my own faith, so I'm not going to go in the healing line. No, it doesn't work that way either. You receive everything you can from God. Like I've told you the story before, several years ago, I was believing God for healing in my eye, and I was praising God, and I got it healed about 70%, but there was about 30% of the problem that was still there, and I kept praising God, and all of a sudden in a healing service, it got healed. And I didn't even realize what had happened, but God used the gift of healing to do it. So, hey, God will use the gift of healing. He'll use your prayer, your praise, and your rejoicing. He's going to use it all. Hallelujah. But just let it develop in your heart. Praise God. Verse 25, for he that has to him shall more be given, and he that doesn't have will be taken even which he has. Praise God. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. We're going to do a little bit more reading. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. I want you to see a story. Jesus, we just read it. He just told a parable. He gave a teaching, so I want you to see a story about this. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came a certain man kneeling down and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falls into the fire and into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. So here they had a problem casting out a devil because of the unbelief in their hearts. You see, it wasn't a lack of the anointing. It wasn't a lack of God's power. It wasn't God's timing or anything like that. The excuse of God's timing is the one that gets used the most, I think. But it wasn't a lack of any of those things, but it was the issue of the disciples' heart that Jesus pointed out. Hallelujah. It was an issue of the heart that Jesus pointed out. So your heart is your life's ultimate authority. So your heart there is nothing that can stop the Word of God from producing a harvest in your heart. I want to tell you that again. There is nothing that can stop the Word of God from producing a harvest in your heart. So when you get a hold of God's Word in your heart, then you've got to spend time in prayer, spend time in the Word, and block out certain things. If you're believing God for something that's bigger than anything you've seen manifest before, then you've got to spend more time in prayer, more time in the Word, and get a discipline about walking in this until your heart is developed and there is room in the ground of your heart for 30, 60, and 100-fold return. Because God will do it. God, I'm telling you, He has put the power in your hands to determine the blessing of God that manifests in your life. He has put that in your hands. He hasn't put it in the hands of any other preacher, although He'll use preachers to help you out with the gifts of the Spirit, and that's awesome. But God has given you the ability to manifest unlimited financial blessing. God has given you the ability to manifest unlimited healing in your physical body. God has given you the ability to manifest an unlimited increase in your life and in this church as we develop our heart with the Word of God on the inside. And so we've got to understand the principle that there is nothing that can stop the Word of God growing in your heart and coming out of your mouth from producing a supernatural miracle. It is impossible. It's more solid and more concrete than the law of gravity. I mean, you just know when you lift up something, it's going to drop. It's an absolute fact. But even more than that, when you get the Word of God in your heart and you guard your heart with all diligence, as it says in Proverbs 4:23, you guard your heart with all diligence. There is nothing that can stop the harvest from coming to pass in your life. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read a few things to you here and we'll be finished. Hallelujah. The issue isn't the physical trouble. If you're just say, for example, you're believing God for healing in your life, in your body. The issue isn't your physical trouble. It's the condition of your heart. Now, at first, that may be offensive, but that can be a really good thing. The issue isn't your physical trouble. The issue is your heart. Now, let me balance that by telling you that it's not like there's sin in your life. It's not that you're a bad person. It's none of these things. But if you're believing God for healing in your life, the issue is your heart. Look at it on the positive side, that you have the ability to crank it up, amp it up in that area, and see a healing take place. You don't have to die of cancer. You do not have to live with pain in your body. You do not have to tolerate arthritis. You don't have to tolerate and live with any of these things. You have the ability, if you will focus on your heart. It's not the physical body that's the most important issue. Now, don't get me wrong. That is important. You may be sitting there thinking, David, I'm hurting real bad. So this is important. I know it is. I've had physical problems. That's what drove me into the healing ministry as a kid. So I know what it's like to suffer physically, not as bad as a lot of people. I mean, it hasn't been horrible, but it is important. But your heart is the much more important issue. Hallelujah. It isn't money. It's the condition of your heart. It's not a money problem. It's not a bank problem. It's the condition of your heart. And let me tell you again, that doesn't mean that you have sin in your life or that you should have gone out and done this great exploit for God and you didn't and that God's judging you. No, it's nothing like that. But the issue is your heart. The power of the Word can develop financial blessing and provision in your life. And there's nothing the devil can do to stop it. So exercise your power in the Word. It's not a money issue. It's an issue of your heart. Now, listen to this. Your heart isn't judged by the condition of your body, because you may begin to think, well, if it's not a money issue, then it's a heart issue. And then you turn around and look at your bank account that has no money in it, and you think, oh, my goodness, my faith is failing. Let me tell you, your heart, your faith is not judged by the condition of your body or your bank account. Because if you look at your bank account or the condition of your body to determine whether or not your faith is doing its job, then you've already reverted back to the realm of the natural, and you've gone back to the same mistake that we're trying to get you out of right now. Do you follow what I'm saying? Jesus was going into Jerusalem. It's in Matthew chapter 19 and 20, somewhere around there. I read this in my daily reading the other day and just got so excited I could hardly take it. Jesus, when he was going into Jerusalem, he told one of his disciples, go before me and there's going to be a colt tied, and you tell them that the master, the Lord, has need of it. Now, you can't look at life through rose-colored sunglasses all the time. We need to by faith, but put yourself in that position. You're going into Jerusalem. You created the earth, and you're coming into Jerusalem, and you have basically no vehicle. Jesus, just humor me a little bit on this. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and he had no donkey, he had no horse, he had no colt. In modern-day terms, that's having no car. Imagine walking around, and you're going to preach and minister somewhere, and you really are a big deal. But you have no car. Something happened and it broke down on the field. You were traveling around or you gave it to somebody, but you have no car. You would look at that in the natural and say, your faith isn't working. Poverty has overtaken that preacher. You cannot judge them or a preacher or yourself by what you have in the natural. Because if you'd have judged Jesus right then by what he had in the natural, you'd have said, Jesus, you're broke. Poverty has overtaken you because you don't even have a Cadillac Escalade. You don't have a Ford Escort. You have nothing. You don't even have a bike. You're having to borrow somebody else's. He had to borrow somebody else's transportation. But you cannot judge your heart by what you see in the natural. And that right there, the reason I'm telling you this is because when people, you get a hold of the promise of God, and then you begin to lose the promise of God because your faith begins to operate and you get encouraged and you get strengthened, but you look at yourself in the natural realm and physically or emotionally and financially, and then you let go of your faith because you want to judge your faith by what you see in the realm of the natural. And so listen to this right now. I'm building on top of one statement, on top of another. Don't judge yourself by what you see in the natural. You have to get to the place where you can have poverty or lack, what looks like lack in the natural, what looks like sickness in the natural, but provision and healing so strong in your heart and in your life that you no longer are moved at all by what you see in the realm of the natural. And you're no longer moved at all by what you see in the realm of the natural, regardless of how long it takes. That's where you have to get. That's the place where your heart is truly the authority in your life, and you can move any mountain, and you can prosper in the middle of any situation when you're not moved by the realm of the natural. When you are God Almighty, not obviously you're not, but if you were God Almighty there, then you need a donkey, and you are not moved by the fact that I don't have a donkey. And instead of stressing out and trying to go borrow money, where am I going to get a donkey? And da-da-da, the Holy Ghost is telling Jesus, it's over in Jerusalem. Just go send your servant guy over there to go get it. You know what we do, though? We stress out. We go get the credit card and we borrow money. And we do these, we take the wrong move. God has the right move for every financial need in your life. And that's a whole other teaching. But God has the right move for every financial need in your life. With nothing in your hands in the natural realm, you can be a rich person. Well, I'm rich spiritually. Well, that's true, but we're not talking about being spiritually rich only. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty are made rich. And when you read that in the context, he is talking about money. There's no way he's talking about spiritual prosperity only. So God wants you to prosper in the realm of finances. He wants you to walk in divine health. You must understand that everything in your life flows from your heart. Absolutely everything. Hallelujah. So you've got to get to the place where your heart is so established that you're not moved by what you see in the realm of the natural. And you can truly rejoice, and you are truly full of joy, and you are truly and sincerely full of peace when it hasn't manifested yet. When you get to that place, then stay there. Having done all to stand, stand. When you get to that place, stay there and don't let yourself get moved. Stay there because that seed is growing. You can read later on in Mark chapter 4. We didn't read it all, but it's actually right where we stopped reading, where Jesus said, the kingdom of God is a man that sows a seed into the ground, and he sleeps night and day and doesn't know how it grows. It comes forth first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So that is growing in your life. So when you get to that place where you're not moved by what you see in the natural, when you are so full of joy and full of peace in the middle of what looks like lack and physical sickness, then stay there because you've done all to stand. Now just keep standing and let that thing begin to grow. Because God's plan for you is not just to send a delivery boy with a loaf of bread one time, but he wants to give you the entire harvest field so you can grow and produce all the bread that you want. Keep reading there in Mark chapter 4. It says, the kingdom of God is like a small seed that is smaller than all, a mustard seed that's smaller than all of the other seeds. But Jesus said, but when it is sown. That's when everything changes, when the power of the Word of God is sown into your heart. But when it is sown, it becomes greater than all of the other trees, and all the birds of the air come and rest in its branches. That's what God wants to do, and it takes time. It takes seed, time, and harvest. Hallelujah. So when you get to that place, stand. Don't let the devil come and say, it didn't work, I told you. You've been full of joy and peace for 24 hours, and nothing has changed. No, stand. It's growing. Stand and let it just continue to grow. And that financial prosperity will grow out of your heart and out of your life. That healing will grow out of your heart and out of your life. And then you'll get to the place where God will be able to use you as a gift to other people. God will use you as a financial gift for Pastor's Vision. God will use you as a gift of healing, praise God, to reach other people. God will be able to use you. Because you've let that grow and fruits abounding. Because God not only wants to meet your need, he wants to meet everybody's need. And he can use you to meet everybody's need if you'll just do this, praise God. Hallelujah. So stand, having done all to stand, praise God. You know, there are times that I know that demonic attack comes against me physically. Headaches and asthma and things. There was one time when I was in Springfield, Missouri several years ago. We were traveling in an RV. And I was trying to go to sleep at night, and I had all this sudden horrible asthma attack. And this was the last big battle of asthma that I had in my life. And I'm telling you, that thank God, by the grace of God, I beat it then, and it hasn't come back. You know, I had asthma really bad as a kid. And they tell you, well, when you get older, it's going to get better. Well, it didn't get better. It only got better through faith. And I had seen my faith grow over the years and beat almost all of that asthma. But in 2012 in Springfield, it came back. And it was so bad that I decided I was going to quit praying and believing God there around 10:30 at night in that RV. It was miserable. Go grab a tea straw or a coffee stir stick that has a little hole and breathe through it for several hours. You'll see what that's like. It was terrible. I just was like, forget this. I'm not using my faith. I'm not going to do this. And I got in my truck. I started driving around. I went to every pharmacy and everything that I could find in Springfield, Missouri, and nobody had any inhaler or anything for asthma. And I had no choice but to use my faith. So I went back and got back on my faith, and I repented. God had to pin me down, and he got me. But I began to believe God. Demonic attack will come against. But I really believe that one of the reasons that God uses me in the gift of healing is because when sickness comes against me, even this past week, headaches and things, I don't go straight to the Tylenol. And I don't say, if you do that, it's not, no condemnation. I'm not saying that. But I stand and I use my faith, and I'm telling you, I believe it produces fruit, praise God. God wants to use you to produce fruit in the lives of other people. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. How many of you learned something tonight? Amen. Amen. Well, I got through point one of four. We'll maybe grab the next later on sometime. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet?